Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
And good evening. This is Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And this is Earl Cobb.
Throughout the month of August, Life Changing Talk Radio has teamed with the Western Writers of America, Inc., or the WWA, to produce and broadcast four very special episodes. Each episode has included interviews with members of the WWA and has addressed interesting and enlightening aspects of contemporary Western literature. The overall theme for this year's series is Western Writers Live On, and tonight's show is the fourth of this year's four-part series. Our theme for tonight's show is contemporary Western music and the publishing of Westerns in today's market.
Western music is not to be confused with country music. Western music is a form of American folk music composed by and about the attitudes, strengths, and mindset of people who settled and worked throughout the Western United States and Western Canada. Directly related musically to Old English, Scottish, and Irish folk ballads, Western music celebrates the life of the cowboy on the open ranges and prairies of Western North America. With the traditional Western being a genre of various arts such as comics, fiction, film, games, radio, television, and music, getting Westerns published and in the hands of fans can also be confusing and challenging at times. Tonight, we will learn about today's contemporary Western music and how today's publishing experts get the Western genre in all forms to market.
Oh, and we are so delighted to have with us tonight four members of the Western Writers of America, Inc. Jim Jones, New Mexico author and singer whose books and songs have educated, informed, and entertained people around the world. And Carol Markstrom, who is a singer and songwriter who plays acoustic guitar and performs Western folk and Americana. Tiffany Schofield, senior editor at Five Star Publishing, and Bob Clark, editor-in-chief of editor-in-chief of Washington State University Press. So welcome, Jim, Carol, Tiffany, and Bob, to Living a Richer Life.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Excellent, you all. And we are going to begin our interview and discussion with Jim, Carol, Tiffany, and Bob right after this message.
You're listening to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio. We will open the phone lines at 25 minutes after the hour. Our toll-free number is 855-345-4714. You can also join the discussion via the blog page and on our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Now back to tonight's show.
And welcome back. Our theme tonight is contemporary Western music and the publishing of Westerns in today's market. And our interview guests are Jim Jones, New Mexico author and singer whose books and songs have educated, informed, and entertained people around the world, and Carol Markstrom, singer and songwriter, who plays acoustic guitar and performs Western folk and Americana, and Tiffany Schofield, senior editor at Five Star Publishing, and Bob Clark, editor-in-chief of Washington State University Press. And honestly, you all, I don't know where to begin tonight. We are so delighted to have you participate with us. We have enjoyed this collaboration with Western Writers of America, and thanks for all of you joining us tonight. Let us start the show as we traditionally do by having each of you share a little bit about yourself with our listening audience. Where did you grow up is the question, and how did you arrive at your current place in life? And Jim, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, I
I'm actually a Texan, even though I do live in New Mexico. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and grew up in Beaumont, Texas, down east of Houston. I guess in terms of influences, early on, I sort of got the bug. My heroes were Roy Rogers. I watched all those old TV westerns, and of course, we were divided into the Roy Rogers camp and the Gene Autry camp, and I was square in the Roy Rogers camp. The Lone Ranger was a big hero of mine too, and my parents were very instrumental in all this. My dad, I remember my dad when I was just a toddler going around singing the song "Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling," the theme to the western High Noon. And my mother grew up as a teenager riding on the King Ranch. She had a friend whose father was a foreman, and so she had all kinds of tales to tell me about the vaqueros and working cattle on the King Ranch. And then the other thing that she gave me and my sister was just a love of stories. I still remember her reading O. Henry stories. Ransom of Red Chief was my favorite, for sure. And then leaping forward, because there's a whole, we don't have time to cover my entire life. It's way too long. But I went to school in Austin about the time all that great Texas music was happening with Michael Martin Murphy and Guy Clark and people like that. And that just imprinted on my soul. And then the other thing that's significant is that I got involved in a Western Irish band and toured Ireland a number of times, and got me where I am today.
That's another show.
Yes, no kidding.
Definitely another show. Carol, why don't you help us? Tell us where you grew up and how did you arrive at your current place in life?
Okay, well, I grew up in Minnesota and did my graduate studies in North Dakota and also Utah, and so those experiences drew me in closer to the West. Ultimately, I wound up in my current academic appointment at West Virginia University. But my research and my nonfiction writing has been on American Indians and mostly Navajos and Apaches in recent years. So that's led to actually living part-time in Arizona, where I do a lot of writing on Apache history and culture. So, I mean, the West has always been a wonderful inspiration to me at so many levels. But let me say that music and songwriting really come into my story in more recent years, and really through my connection with the Western Writers of America. So I joined WWA really to branch out as a writer into more creative avenues. But at that time, I didn't realize it was going to be songwriting as one of those avenues. Yeah. Life is surprising sometimes. But it's really people like Jim Jones and some others in WWA who really helped me, really tap into that creative side of my writing, and even a playful writing style, which, you know, comes across in my songwriting and recently published children's book and song as well. So, it's just life is a journey, and it's, you know, continues to evolve. So I really do have to credit WWA with a great deal of that.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Carol. Tiffany, tell us a little bit about you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Funny enough, I grew up on the furthest thing possible away from the Western on the East Coast in Belfast, Maine. And as a child, I actually spent many, many long hours watching some of the best Westerns ever with my grandfather. And I really think that instilled the love of the West in my heart from a very young age, with a couple of my favorites still being The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and The Outback Whales. And then, of course, again, in the 90s, I was starstruck with Dances with Wolves. So throughout my life on the East Coast, I was continually being imprinted with this love of the wide open spaces out in the West, which I had not experienced until the 90s when I took my first trip west out to Wyoming, and I fell in love all over again. And I'm pretty sure that my heart never came back east with me. So ever since then, I think my heart and my brain have been trying to find a way back. my past career has been varied, and I've worked at several different companies. One of my stints was actually as a cosmetologist doing hair and nails. And then when I decided to go back to college to get a business degree, I took this part-time job that was advertised in my local community, which was for a company called Thorndike Press, which is also a cousin imprint to Five Star Publishing. And thankfully, when I took that job, the rest was a glorious history of 15 years of being in publishing and being able to work with so many wonderful people that also share a love of the West, live in the West, some live in the East, but it really, what I have learned is it's truly a state of mind. It's not where you live, it's not a place, it's what you have in your heart and your mind. And it's really been a fantastic journey. And at the office, we joke that perhaps, you know, I've gone from looks to books. So it works. The best change I ever made.
Perfect. Oh, Bob, tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Well, I was born and grew up in Southern California, but I think more importantly, I was born and grew up in a publishing family. My grandfather and father were both publishers and booksellers, and my grandfather founded a company called the Arthur Clark Company, makes sense, that was his name, in Cleveland in 1902. Mm-hmm. And from the start, he specialized in publishing books on the American frontier, and that continued through the life of the company and continues today. He moved the business from Cleveland, Ohio to Glendale, California in 1930. He passed away in 1951, and my father then directed the company until he retired in 1984. And I began working for the company full-time after I graduated from college in 1972. And then my father retired in about 1984, and then I moved the company up to Spokane, Washington in 1989, and I fell in love with the Pacific Northwest. And then in 2006, my wife and I sold the publishing program to the University of Oklahoma Press, and I had the opportunity to go down to Norman, Oklahoma, and work there for 6 years before I relocated to Eastern Washington as editor-in-chief at Washington State University Press, where I am now. And, you know, my entire career in publishing has focused on nonfiction American history, especially the frontier as it moved west, including topics like early white exploration, and native peoples west of the Mississippi, the fur trade era, the overland migration era that covered wagon times, mining and land use, anything that dealt with the land and the people in the far west. But really, the thing that I've loved most in publishing has been working with original documents, the first-hand accounts that we have of the critical events and the life of the peoples throughout the West. And it seems to me that that type of material, this primary documents told by those who lived it, really informs the writers and the musicians that you've had on your show for the past few weeks as they develop their stories and give us wonderfully enriching fictional accounts of the West as we imagine it. Really, publishing Western history has been a great career for me, and I've been blessed to share it with folks like your three guests tonight.
Ah, very nice. You know, Bob, as you were talking, my dad and I were talking about the shows and last year's shows, too, and how much we, too, are so interested in the treasures that Western writers find, the history, how you find it, the original works of the travelers and the pioneers, and it just frames this conversation so well tonight. You know, our theme is Western writers live on, and the theme for tonight's show, of course, is contemporary Western music and the publishing of Westerns in today's market. So it's a little, it seems like it's a little bit far away from the original path of the pioneers, but we love the stories that remind us so much of that courage of those pioneers. We have a lot to talk about tonight, so we thought the best way to do it was to just sort of break our show down into talking about Western contemporary music and then what drives that and its popularity still, and then discuss the publishing industry, its market, and what it takes to be successful and to get successfully published in the Western market today. So without further ado, let's just open up our interview with questions for Jim and Carol, if that's okay, you guys. So
sure.
What is contemporary Western music, and what distinguishes it from some other similar music? So, Carol, I'm going to let you go first, if you would.
Well, that's a great question, and you would probably get a different answer depending on who you ask. But I've had to wrestle with that a little bit myself. So I'll just kind of give you my take on it, and I know Jim will have some great things to say as well. One thing I would say is that stylistically, there's really no one style that, you know, sometimes our mind might just go to kind of the Western swing style, which is more of a jazzy sound, or the traditional cowboy sounding music that many of us remember back from our childhood. But, you know, you're also going to hear bluesy sounds. You're going to hear Mexican-inspired music and lyrics. You're going to hear Celtic-inspired music. And I guess for myself, I sort of put myself in kind of a Western folk music sort of camp. And so you're going to hear a lot of folky sounds as well. But what makes it distinctive, and that's a really good question too. So, I think, you know, we could say that the themes that of the songs of the music are really about people, places, events of the West in a very broad sense. So, it really encompasses the fact that there are many Western experiences and many Western voices that cross boundaries of gender, of ethnicity, of race, of lifestyle, in both historical and the present day experiences, you know, like whether we're talking about Native peoples or immigrants from Europe or Asian countries, that there's great diversity in the Western experience. And so, you know, many of my songs are about American Indian people and places, not all, but some are, and to represent that aspect of the experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just one other thought is just, I was going to say, too, that in thinking about kind of the scope or the geographical scope of this music, too, so I'm living in the East, but, you know, my heart's in the West a lot of the time. But so a question I'll try to answer is like, where does the West begin and where does it end? And I think that's in the eye of the beholder is what I have to come down to, because the East was West at one time. And even today, there are people living in the East who live lifestyles that we associate with the West, you know, such as a ranching lifestyle. You know, there's ranching in the East, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the Western experience, as you previously mentioned earlier in the show, extends to Canada, where there are many Western musicians and fans, as well as Mexico. So the geographical boundary is really fluid and not a fixed kind of boundary. And, of course, there are Western music fans around the world, too, so which is really
absolutely
amazing. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, Jim, you jump in there and let's talk a little bit about what is this contemporary Western music from your perspective.
Well, Carol took my answer. I don't know what to say now.
I'm just kidding. I love that. Well, you know, where does the word begin? Question. I missed it.
I'll come at it from a slightly different point of view then, because she did say a lot of things that I agree with totally. To me, one of the hallmarks of what I consider contemporary Western music right now is that it's new music that's being written by songwriters who either live in the West or, in some cases, they spend time in the West and they have great imaginations, which helps a lot, and they research their songs. But it's people really writing about the experience. And so even if you're writing on a historical topic about something that happened in the West, I think it's from a contemporary point of view. It's from somebody in the 21st century looking at, you know, I write a lot of songs about what's happened in northern New Mexico, but I'm looking at it from the perspective not only of what I've learned about the history, but also how it, you know, how it goes on today, how it impacts people in the 21st century. So that, to me, contemporary Western music, there's a lot of brand new music out there, and I don't think most people even know that. And again, as Carol said, what distinguishes it from other similar music is that it's very much folk music, really, but it's the theme is about the West, about the wide open spaces, about the people, the lifestyle, the when Tiffany said she fell in love with Wyoming, my thought was she must have been there during the summer.
yes, it was very good summer.
Yes, indeed, because February in Wyoming is not the thing, kind of thing that anybody falls in love with, I promise you. But
I thought she may have just seen the Grand Tetons and stopped right there. It's so magnificent.
Oh, no kidding.
So that helped me a lot because I like what you were saying about the 21st century, about this music and how people are relating to the concept, if you would, of wide open spaces. You know, today I listen to Pandora and iHeartRadio and all of the digitized, if you would, music versions of how we get our music today. So, you know, I read that there are a number of statistical patterns and metrics which characterize contemporary Western popular music. And, you know, I was thinking, well, if I were going to go do this in Pandora, they have to be searching for a certain metric or pattern or pitch, and you all are singers. And in this sense, has Western popular music evolved over the past 50 years? And Jim, would you help me with that?
Sure. Well, you know, I think it's definitely evolved. It's interesting because, you know, somebody made the comment to me one time that the original cowboy songs were just the popular songs of the day that cowboys sang when they were either around the campfire or they were out, you know, they were the night hawk and they were trying to keep the herd calm down and stay awake. You know, so they're singing Annie Laurie. Well, that's not really a cowboy song, except it's a song all the cowboys sang. And the earliest collections in the early 1900s, Jack Thorpe, the Lomax Brothers, those were all, as you had mentioned earlier, most of them are songs with new lyrics set to old tunes from the Celtic tradition. And then it evolved into the silver screen cowboy era, particularly with the Sons of the Pioneers and Bob Nolan, one of the great songwriters ever, who introduced jazz swing kind of chords and patterns into it, and that became Western music. And then, I think it really is evolving. And I really do think now that contemporary Western music, to a large extent, is a singer-songwriter genre. And we have people, you know, Dave Stamey's an incredible singer-songwriter. The man has lived it. He's lived it. R.W. Hampton, another one, Western Music Hall of Fame guy, who walks with a limp.
Uh-huh.
He was a cowboy, you know. And so it's evolving, and it will continue to evolve. We got some young performers who are putting their own stamp on it now that are just amazing, and I just can't wait to see where it goes.
Wonderful. Carol, could you share your thoughts about this question of is it evolving?
Yeah, I agree with everything Jim said, and a couple of thoughts came to mind as he was talking too, that you know, we could also get into a discussion of how is Western different from country, and maybe decades ago they were a little closer together, and some of the classic country, you know, some of those tunes were a little more Western than what we hear. But I think over time the country and Western have really diverged from one another. So Western really is its genre, you know, and as we mm-hmm. defined and talked about it previously. I think another way it's evolved too is that you hear a broader range of instruments used today, perhaps. You know, you may hear a cello or a drum set on a Western tune today, or in addition to the traditional, you know, Western instruments we think of, or of a harmonica or something like that. you know, you may hear like some of my songs, Native American flute and drum, you know, and that's Western music as well. So I think there's just a broader range of expression using instruments, but, you know, lyrically as well.
Well, excellent. You know, I cannot believe it's already 25 minutes after the hour. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we return, we'll start our discussion about the publishing industry today and its market and what it takes to successfully publish the Western genre. And when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines after we do our publishing discussion. We'll open up the phone lines and take comments and questions from our listening audience. And we know we have several listeners and chat on the chat line, so remember to press the number 1 on your keypad if you have a question or comment. You can also meet us on the blog, talkradio.com/richerlifechatline, email us at info@richerlifellc.com, or send us a tweet at Richer Life Talk. We'll be back right after this message.
The entire staff here at Life Changing Talk Radio would like to thank you for listening to this episode live or on podcasts. Throughout the month of August, we have teamed with the Western Writers of America, Inc. to produce and broadcast 4 very special episodes. Each episode has included interviews with members of the WWA and has addressed interesting and enlightening aspects of contemporary Western literature. This series has certainly contributed to our goal of empowering you, our listeners, to pursue new heights of health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. We invite you to listen to the podcast of the first 3 episodes of this special series, and also to reach out to the Western Writers of America in support of the organization and learn more about why they consider their collective product the literature of the West for the world.
And welcome back. You know, our theme tonight is contemporary Western music and the publishing of Westerns in today's market. And our interview guests are Jim Jones, New Mexico author and songwriter, and Carol Markstrom, singer-songwriter, who performs in Western folk music and Americana. We have with us Tiffany Schofield, senior editor at 5-Star Publishing, and Bob Clark, editor-in-chief of the Washington State University Press. And thank you all again for joining us tonight. Let's discuss today's publishing industry and its market and what it takes to successfully publish the Western genre today. As we all know, successfully publishing any genre in today's market is a challenge. So, Tiffany, as senior editor at 5-Star, imprint of Gale, what do you and 5-Star look for in evaluating new Western manuscripts for publishing today?
Well, thank you, Charlotte. Something that, for some of our house rules, we're looking for word counts that are between 60,000 to 130,000 words. There have been some traditional Western novels that have been so well written that we've even accepted at about 55,000 words. We're also looking for the traditional Westerns and historical fiction novels that are set in America's West, which we have a brand new genre list for called Frontier Fiction. And a lot of folks have thought, well, okay, so how is Frontier Fiction different than Westerns? Well, really what we wanted to be able to do is to give voice to our Western fiction novels, such as the mystery genre has had for, you know, decades, with subgenres such as cozy mystery, thrillers, suspense, you know, you name it. There's tons of subgenres that call out the particular voice of that mystery novel. And we realized that these wonderful Westerns that we've been publishing for 20 years now had fantastic elements, and they uniquely stood on their own, but there was no way to call that out to our reading fans. So we developed a front list, in which we could say, well, okay, this is a frontier mystery. Perhaps this other story is a frontier romance. You know, what are those strong elements and themes that readers are really going to enjoy? And so it has really kind of opened the floodgates to all kinds of fantastic historical fiction that's set in America's West, because America's West is so very unique, and it belongs mm-hmm. to all of us here in America. And we truly believe that that will never go out of style because it is uniquely ours. And its stories, what we're looking for is really the strength of the story, the character development, and some of these, you know, some bad and some good moments in our own history in this country, but perhaps told from a unique perspective, such as Adam James Jones' story, The Vendetta of Felipe Espinoza, that took the true account of what is considered America's first mass murderer, but really mm-hmm. enlightened the reader to the history of this person and why perhaps they came to that point in life that they did. So it really helps the reader think about what might have been behind that moment in history from a new perspective.
Very good. I see. It's a fresh perspective, perhaps, and also I see how, as a publisher, I like your reference to the variety of the genre and really giving it a stronger footprint with all of its variety included. So that frontier fiction, I think it definitely resonates to me. As someone from Alaska, I consider myself a frontier girl. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And still that spirit of the West and the openness and the adventure. Bob, I'm going to ask you, because you grew up in a family whose ownership of a publishing firm specialized in Western Americana dating, you know, back to 1902, would you share with us some of the challenges and changes that you've seen in publishing the Western genre over the years?
Well, Charlotte, you know, the word change, it really describes the last few decades in book publishing.
Yeah.
I look back at, really, for 500 years, the book was printed and bound with only minor changes in technology. It was the same process for five centuries. But just in my career, I've seen manufacturing and printing books move from lead type to computers and digital printing to electronic publishing. So we still have printed books, but we're also in the world of electronic or e-books that not only display on screen, but they've got interactive features like search capabilities that are a real game changer for the book world. So even within the print-on-paper world, we can now produce single copies on demand at a reasonable cost, and that was unthinkable even 20 years ago. So the business has changed really in a radical way, and it's reshaped not only publishing, but the sale of books as well. I've been fortunate to have a bricks and mortar and an internet bookstore for most of my career, and the internet has just been a real game changer in that field as well. It's not only hurt, but it's helped a lot of folks in the book business. And I think we're all still trying to adjust to those changes and figure out where things are going and how we will deal with all these changes in technology. But the Western, I think, as a genre, has seen less change than the publishing industry over the past 50 years. In fact, the genre really, it saw a decline in popularity as we entered the 21st century, but it's gaining momentum and readers far more successfully than most other publishing genres in the last few years. Those stories still resonate with people in a big way. And even though my publishing experience is in nonfiction history and different from the classic Westerns that are fiction, I can see interest in the West and its history, whether it's nonfiction or fiction, remaining as popular now as when I entered the field decades ago. And I think that's because it's one of our national myths, and it helps really define who we are as a people.
I love that. Well, excellent. I appreciate everything I'm hearing tonight. I wanted to take a quick break and just invite our callers in right now. Earl, do we have questions from our callers, people in the chat room, or email?
Yes, Charlotte, we sure do. We've got quite a few people in the chat room and a lot of callers. Remember, callers, if you want to make a comment or chat with one of our Charlotte or one of our guests, hit the 1 on your keypad so I know that you have a question. But now we do have the caller. Grace, are you there? There she is. She's there now. Welcome. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Yes. I have a question for Tiffany.
Okay.
I finished reading The Poacher's Daughter by Michael Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally love that type of frontier fiction. Do you see that there's going to be more interest, or is there more request for that type of book where the female is the main character or the gunslinger?
Absolutely. That is a fantastic question. And we really have seen quite an uptick in the interest of our, you know, wonderful Western and frontier fiction stories told from that new perspective, told from the woman's perspective that helped settle the West. Because, you know, we all know that women and men both were truly behind settling the West. And now that that voice is being given in our library market, we're finding that those stories are very popular. And similar to The Poacher's Daughter, we also published The Righteous Revenge of Lucy Moon by Bill Brooks, and that also was largely popular. So I really think that there is definitely a major growth in that kind of interest, hearing these great stories from the female protagonist's point of view. Thank you.
Great.
That's a great question.
A great question. Thank you so much, Grace, for asking that. And I would ask this to everyone, Jim, Carol, Tiffany, Bob, that it's not really a juxtaposition, if you would, but, you know, fiction writers use their imagination, and a female as a gunslinger or as the judge of the community. Now, Jim and Carol, would you write a Western song that maybe switched places in the traditional character? Would you do something like that?
Potentially. I'm trying to, yeah. Why not? I know, you know, one song I wrote about Lois, and she was a female Apache warrior, and so I guess I have done that, you know, to some degree. But yes, but she was, you know, a real person, mm-hmm. and but in an unusual role at her time. So yeah,
very good, very good. And Jim, Tiffany, Bob, any thoughts on Grace's question or comment?
Well, this is Bob, and I. Mm-hmm. The role of the woman in the West was underplayed for years, of course, and in many ways just ignored. But over the last 30 years, the woman's role in the frontier in general has really been brought to light, and I think there's a great place for it. I was involved in the publication of a series of books, 11 volumes, containing diaries and letters of women who went overland the Oregon Trail and the California Trail, and those accounts were marvelous, but they'd been ignored for over 100 years. So yes, there is certainly a place for that and lots of stories to tell.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. Earl, do we have other questions from callers or listeners?
Yeah, we do, but looking at the time, let's just get one emailer in, because she's been here listening to us for quite a while. It's a pretty good question.
Very good.
She says, I am an avid reader of the Westerns, but the problem is, unless I know where to go on the internet or the library, mm-hmm. I can't find any. My local bookstore doesn't have Westerns. What's happening here?
Wow.
That is an interesting question. From our point of view at Five Star, we are primarily in the library market, But something that we've seen just from our perspective is that with our hardcover format for the library market, they do still seem to be vastly popular in the library market. But as far as in the trade market, we're seeing a kind of a slight shift in, which I think is cyclical. You know, you kind of get your mysteries that are really popular, and then it's going to go to romance, and then possibly sci-fi, and then it's going to go to Western. And it really does kind of keep swinging around. So I think eventually that'll come back around again in trade formats. But I would love to, you know, ask maybe even Bob, and maybe he has a different perspective from that, if they work any in the trade market.
Well, and really, because I've been in nonfiction, and not only nonfiction, but primary source reference and research books, our market's always been very small and hard to penetrate into bookstores. But ask those bookstores to carry Westerns. Ask them to order some in. And then, of course, on the Internet now, there are so many places you can go to find out what's available, Goodreads, other good websites and lists can really inform you of what's popular and what's a good read.
Absolutely. And for any callers that would love to get a full listing of hundreds of fantastic Westerns and frontier fiction titles, they can email us anytime at 5star@cengage.com. That is FIVESTAR@CENGAGE.com, and I would be more than happy to send them a full listing of titles and where they can find them, and you know what it is about that title, whether it's a mystery, a romance, historical fiction, biographical fiction. So there's plenty of options. I would love to have anybody reach out to us and help them with that title selection.
That is perfect. And with that thought, Tiffany, we are out of time for tonight's show. Jim Carroll, Tiffany, and Bob, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a real pleasure. I wanted to leave a little time so that we can make sure people know how to reach you. So you can learn more about Jim Jones by going to www.jimjonesmusic.com. And I did that, and Jim, I know you're playing in many locations and venues, so jimjonesmusic.com. You can learn about Carol Markstrom and her work by going to www.carolmarkstrommusic.com, and that is Carol Mark, M-A-R-K, markstrommusic.com, and Carol just released her new CD, so woohoo! Please support her with that. Thank you. Okay. You can learn more about Tiffany Schofield and her work by going to her Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Tiffany.Schofield, S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D 56. And you can learn about Bob Clark and his work at wsupress.wsu.edu/clark.html. So I want to thank all of you for joining us and participating in tonight's show. Remember to go to our broadcast page at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife and click the blue follow button and show your support for this weekly broadcast. And thank you again so much for supporting and listening to our podcast. Please remember to join us at Richer Life. Thank you again for joining us this evening, and thanks to Western Writers.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again the same time next Thursday.